The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Taking Stock. It is 12 o'clock. It is the 19th of January, 2024. For you people who care about time and space, but when you're an urban stock picking gorilla in camouflage like John is, time doesn't mean it's just about survival.
Rural.
A rural gorilla, a camouflage stock picker. That's the way you see stock. That's the way John picks stocks. He literally hides behind trees, stalks a company, then jumps on it when it's at the best value.
That's right.
So you were just saying then. Now I remember this morning it was absolutely freezing. It was bin day. Well, that's recycling bins and bottles. So I put them out, and I also started the car for my wife because it was school long time. It was really deep frost on it, quite a thick frost. And within 5 minutes, my hands were hurting. But you are saying where you are right now, and Monty, my son, said, Dennis, minus six. Or he said, minus seven, actually. And so you are sitting there with no heating on. Is that right?
No, there's no heating in this particular room. There is a log burner. I can't bother to turn it on. And there's an electric underfloor system, which I'm not allowed to turn on.
Yeah. So it's literally, you're eating or heating there. You can either afford to heat or eat. But there we are. Let us know, by the way. Join in the comments. By all means, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe to the channel. And download the Vox Markets app. That's free, unlike heating. Having said that, heating is coming down. Energy price cap coming down. So that'll help with the inflation later on. So maybe you can put the heating on, John, in April. You won't need it, though, by then. Let us know where you are. How cold is it overnight where you are? Let us know who's the lowest temperature around watching this. And we had, I think, minus seven. So if you can beat that, you go in some way. Deep Pan says, John looks radioactive today. Okay. Let's have a quick look at the markets. Let's see what's happening across the FTSE 100. Up. Oh, look at that. It's a change. The last few days, the AIM has been up and it's been a bit less worse than the rest. But today, it is down 0.22%, AIM All Share. FTSE 100 up 0.44%. Some of the riders flutter. That's the second day in a row, I think. Persimmon is bouncing there.
Yeah, a bit of an upgrade there, I think, on Persimmon.
Oh, are they? Okay. AstraZeneca, Vodafone Rentokil, Intercontinental Hotels. Fallers today. Whitbread, Rolls-Royce, Glencore, Kingfisher, St. James, Marks Spencer, Ocado, Entain. There we are.
You would expect to see the big retailers on there. Some horrible days for us today.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, where is it? Let's scroll to that. I want to show the figures on this. Look at this. These are the forecasts for retail. Now, remember, we had CPI, didn't we? From November it was. I think was it December or November? But came in a bit higher. That shook the markets. Essentially, the previous month was 3.9%. They're expecting to go down to 3.8%. It went up 0.1% to 4%, and the markets wobbled. We're going to have these wobbles. It was largely down to tobacco and alcohol, you say, the duty in that coming up. So, but this will help inflation because people didn't seem to want to spend over Christmas.
They're spending on different things. I think, there's some good analysis on the site, Kathleen Brooks, talking about the sort of shift in spending patterns away from stuff towards experiences, and by experiences we're talking about sort of leisure experiences, holidays, that sort of thing. There was less gift giving than perhaps people expected.
That coat wasn't a gift for Christmas, was it?
No, it wasn't.
You got a coat and a body warmer on. God, you got, how many
and
layers
a jumper
you got,
and right? A t-shirt.
Have you? Four layers. I've got this one layer. There we are. But my heating bill's probably more expensive. So, what I'm not buying on, losing on clothes and bills. Look at that. Look at the forecasts. They're way off, aren't they? Look at it. I mean, look at retail sales for month on month in December. They were expecting just a drop of 0.5%. 3.2%. Six times, pretty much.
Forecasting.
As bad as they were thinking.
Forecasting. So, month's going.
It is. Retail sales, look at that. The sharpest drop since the UK was in COVID lockdown. That's saying something. We couldn't actually go out and spend then.
Well, having said that, I mean, after once the COVID lockdown hit, there was actually quite a strong boom in retail sales, but obviously most of it being delivered via online channels. So, when people were stuck at home, they were spending on stuff like there was no tomorrow. And that's why I think there's been this shift because, people are stuffed out, as it were, and are sort of making up for the lost time and things they couldn't spend money on. over the last few years, going on holiday being you know, the obvious example.
Yeah, well, some people spend like there's no tomorrow. If you believe some of the, you know, the gloomier headlines, people believe there was no tomorrow. Literally, it's a cold. It's a bit of a cold, unless you had, you know, compromised immune system. Okay, so we're looking at, because this is largely, I think, I don't know where the inspiration came for this from, John, but today, a company called Big Technologies, ticker Big, came out with a profits warning, and it did at one point down 45%. And so we said, you know, let's have a look at some screens where the company's been bombed out, but generally are quite good. So let's share this screen here.
Well, I mean, one of these. The interesting thing on Big Technologies popped out of this screen. So basically, it's companies that are within 5% of their 52-week lows. So either at 52-week lows or 5% above them. And Big Technologies popped out of the screen. Because what I was also looking for was companies that have been sold off but are actually delivering some form of growth. Now, in Big Technologies' case, this was obviously before today's warning, the numbers that this EBITDA forecast is based on, and actually that company would no longer be in this screen. And I think that sort of gives you a bit of a warning about screens. You know, they don't give you all the answers.
Yeah,
they're a starting point for further research. But then, you know, Big Technologies aside, perhaps we can talk about that company because it is quite interesting. But, you know, here are a selection of companies that do appear to be delivering growth, that aren't too heavily indebted. That was another factor I was looking for. You know, max gearing is 25%. Or, you know, preferably with cash and yet are still trading, you know, at the bottom of a 1-year range. And there's some nice little companies on here.
Yeah. Well, I do like this for me. When you have companies that are bombed out, I say I do play momentum quite a bit. If factors into my stock picking, of course, fundamentals first, but you know, that's what to buy. And then, you know, when to buy is look at technical. So for me, what I do with Big Technologies, because I think, so I did look at that. I'm not that familiar with the company, but I just saw I always check out the rises and falls of the day. So I looked at it today and I thought, what's going on here then? And it was like 300 million market cap before the drop.
Yeah.
But so it's saying expected to be, this is revenue for the year to the 31st December, 55 million. I thought, okay.
Well, this year's fine. This year's fine.
Yeah.
Next year that's the problem.
But what struck me, and in fact, I mentioned this, Paul, what struck me about this is that top line 55 million, okay, because that's quite a multiple, you know, sales multiple. Mm. And then I look at adjusted EBITDA, 33. I thought, that's a good margin there. So even at 300 million, you're talking 10 times EBITDA, you know, and it's come down. They say the consensus here is still 32 million. And now you're talking, what's the market cap now?
Probably about
292, pretty much. So
that's not too bad. A long way.
But what I do, you tend, like I said, you know, recently, what you have, and in fact, not even recently, but when companies release a bad update, it's not just on its own, is it? You know, you tend to get them in twos or threes. So it takes a while to gain that traction back and to turn your business around a little bit. So I'm just putting an alert on this. I mean, even, you know, it's nowhere near. Look at that now. Like I said, it's been dipping down for the 200 moving average since the 4th of September. It broke down.
Yes.
Nowhere near it, and then dropped off a cliff here. And so you just need to catch back up with those. I mean, even on a shorter-term range, look at that. It's a 20-day moving average. It's still even way off that. So yeah. I wouldn't even bother.
Big Technology has got a lot smaller over the last year. But, you know, as you say, you know, the margins are pretty decent. It's, you know, it does tagging. So, you know, it was patient tracking for the NHS, but also prisoner tagging. And this is the point. It had a big contract in Colombia for prisoner tagging, which it seems to have been a problematic contract for some time, but now it's announced that it's lost that contract, and that's taken a big chunk of revenues out of 2024's forecast. And, you know, I think, you know, what I would read into that, and this is something I would suggest everyone looks at certainly in smaller companies, is if they have any kind of contract customer concentration, whereby if that contract was to disappear, it would have a material effect on numbers, then it's a risk. But for an investor, it's a manageable risk because you can generally see companies that have, you know, large amounts coming from one or two customers. And that's what's happened here.
Yeah, I'm just thinking there. They got, like I said, you know, in their interims, which is the 30th of June, of course, we're quite a way on from that. They had 75 million of cash up from 57. Do they have any and no debt? So you're talking literally, even if it's 50 million of cash, even if you've lost some of the cash, you know, you're talking about a 250 million market cap and an EBITDA of 32. That's good value, isn't it? It seems like they're going to, you know.
Yeah, got a ton of cash, But, you know, investors aren't necessarily always looking, they're looking for growth. You know, this is what you would call a growth company. And when that growth starts to come backwards, then, you know, the derating can be quite harsh.
Yeah, that's the thing. Do you know what? It's very hard. And a lot of people, you know, don't look at those two metrics. And just people look at growth or value. And I think, no. And even the best investor, Buffett, says he doesn't believe in that kind of thing. He says, no, every company should have a bit of both. And it's not hard. Yeah. And even if you try and find companies with good growth and good value, then they're not that, you know, they're not often there. Either if they have a growth, they've rallied very quickly and the value is no longer compelling. So if you do manage to find, and screens are very good for this, if you do manage to find a company with decent growth and good value, then, you know, they tend to outperform those kind of companies.
What you'll see here is that the sort of valuation metrics, which were looking okay, so for 2023, you know, talking PE of 15, that's the year they're about to report.
Yeah.
But 2024, that was going to fall to 14 and a bit, but obviously that's no longer the case. So suddenly they look much more expensive on a forecast basis.
Yeah.
But you know, ultimately still profitable, still cash. This company wouldn't be going anywhere. You know, it's not going to disappear, it's not going to go bust. So you know, the value opportunity does start to creep in.
Yeah, Frenkel Topping. I look at those recently. Fen is ticker. So they do sort of pensioned IFA sort of stuff and then help with independent financial advisors and all that stuff, and pensions and all that stuff. Look at that, that's been down, you know, it's trending down there. Not like a second chart. It's finding it really hard. But what else is there? What have you seen there? John?
Do I like on this list? Insilica. We talked about them the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is
microchips.
This is microchips, and you know that has been a difficult sector in the past few years because of sort of geopolitical factors. But they came out with an update the other day, which I thought was quite interesting. This is crypto. Basically, IP, semiconductor IP for an enhanced cryptography, which is needed, you know, to essentially offset the threat of quantum computing to the security behind, to crypto cryptography, which is obviously behind a lot of cryptocurrencies. So I think this is quite an interesting one, and the numbers look decent. The forecast look decent. Got a little bit of debt, but it's not you know, nothing unmanageable.
Are they making money then? Because they raise money.
Well, anything that's got EBITDA forecast is, you know, there's money there. So that's why I wanted to see companies that are actually profitable.
Yeah.
So that, you know, there were a lot of companies trading at 52 week lows that aren't making any money, that aren't forecast to grow, that aren't, you know, they don't have that quality behind them. So, you know, these are real nice names, you know. Me Group International. I know that's it's the old photo me.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I must admit, I'd written this one off years ago. You know, thinking who needs photo booths in this day and age? But they've sort of diversified their business a little bit. They do very strangely, although they do seem to work. It's a self service laundrette type things, which you see at co-ops and petrol stations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you want to go and wash the duvet, you're going to stick it in one of their big machines, and it works. They're doing pizza slice vending.
Really? Oh, okay.
It's strange things.
I mean, they're going to have to move away from, obviously, they changed their name. I don't know how long back, but someone did say that.
But that's what it changed the name.
These days, both to me, I was thinking that they've got to become redundant for a long time, because now even passport photographs you can take with your iPhone, you know, standing as a wall. So they've have to diversify. But
but they are diversifying, you know. Yeah. And if you look at their sort of revenue profile, they're, there's a fair split there. So they've got, you know, 2/3 in Europe, but 20% in the UK, 20% in Asia. So it's making decent money. Shares look cheap.
Auction Technologies.
Yeah, I use this company, actually. Use this company's services. Well, they provide a lot of back end for auctions, which is a hobby of mine. And
what do you mean auctions are a hobby of yours? I need
buy
more
stuff
detail
at auctions.
Oh, okay.
Antiques, vintage, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that. Should I ask you what you buy at auctions? Yeah.
Yeah. And Auction Technologies provides a lot of the back end for these companies. So that, you know, a lot of bidding now is done live online.
So I did look at these a while back. My memories are not good. That's why I said, Paul, earlier, that's why I create spreadsheets so I can go refer back to them. Because I know some people can research a company and have it in their head. I don't. Within a month or so, I've forgotten all about it. But I did research these at the time. So what's the valuation like now? Because at the time, I thought they weren't that cheap. And I thought, what's going on here?
They weren't cheap. They weren't very cheap at all. But that share price is, you know, it keeps going down and down and down.
Look at the margin. Margin, isn't it? Look at that.
Yeah.
The margin, 135. So, you know, like I said, if you look at price of sales on that, because this is a, what, 500 million market cap company, is it? Is that right? They are 500 million, aren't they?
What's the market cap? Yeah, it's 550.
Yeah, so if you look at that, it's like four times that, you know, three times, sales. So, but then the margin is at 47%, which is operating margin, you know, decent operating. So that's it. So they're still growing. So what's that? Is it just a case of they were overly priced? And even though they are growing, people thought in a bear market, they've come down, or have they come up the trading update that's not so good, or what? Or is growth expected to be more than this?
I don't entirely know. I don't think it's, I mean, there has been some weakness in these sort of online auctions, in these. Because ultimately they're selling
stuff. I suppose so.
It's like a retail.
Yeah, discretionary spend, isn't it? Some of it. You know, people are buying stuff. Not all of it. Some people have to buy at auctions. But some people, like I said, it's a hobby. If you don't have to buy, you won't buy, I suppose. If you're tightening your belt, then it's going to affect the auctions.
Yeah. But they do have a very, very, you know, certainly in the UK, a very strong presence. And, you know, I tend to go for sort of, you know, art and antique type auctions. But they do a lot of stuff that's in, you know, sort of catering equipment or you know, sort of more commercial stuff generally, you know, more sort of just general consumer goods, and they've got a very strong position in the UK, and they're sort of expanding internationally as well. You know, it makes a lot of money. But yeah, I just think
it's got a bit of debt there. It's not too much to worry about. Yeah, 120 million of debt.
It's just, I think market softness is not helping this company. I, as I say, I'm a user of this technology, and I've got to say, there's a few. I mean, you know, if they're listening, do give us a call, and I can give you a clue as to some of the things that are a bit wrong with your auction technology.
Is it? Why?
It's robust, you know. So when you're doing a live auction, it's got to be robust, because you've got bidders in the room and you've got bidders online, and those two things have to work. You know, there has to be zero latency in that for it to work, and that works. But actually, it's a bit of a clunky platform.
Okay,
that's for a user, for me.
Decent net cash generated there, 49 or 50 million, pretty much. But they have been acquiring some subsidiaries, and the repayment of loans. Look at that, and cash flow 70 million. So obviously no free cash flow there. Interesting. Marvel stuff. All right. Anything else on there worth highlighting? Or should you look at what's on Vox front page here?
Where else we got? As I said, there were a lot of nice companies on there. I mean, Severfield, it says Structural Steel, we've spoken about.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned
Science
this, yeah.
Group. Science Group, I know there's a lot of interest in this company at the moment. And it's sort of a scientific consultancy. But again, you know, the financial performance
actually. What do they think of SAG as a ticker?
Well, you know, but again, you know, very decent, you know, strong balance sheet. You know, it's generating growth, it's generating profit. And, you know, science, STEM is such a big push in so many economies, particularly science, technology, engineering and medicine. That means. You just think why it's so out of favour. I couldn't tell you. But this is why I kind of like, you know, this is where value investing is. It's because it is, companies do fall out of favor, and sometimes it takes a very, very long time for sentiment to reverse. And it's where, you know, certainly I like to invest this way, is where I pick up a bargain. You know, as you've guessed, because I like the auctions as well.
Yeah, well, look at that. I mean, if you see this going back to like 2017, it's almost like it's a nice rise, consolidated for almost 3 years, you know. And then you realize these kind of companies have a lot of growth happening, maybe a lot of interest. It picks up again, and then it grows into that value. Maybe goes beyond a decent valuation, and then it has to consolidate again until the fundamentals prove that it's good value again. Maybe, it may have to consolidate for a while.
I like the screen. I sometimes run a screen, and the results that pop out are horrendous. But actually, you know, this one, some stuff popped out that I think warrants further research.
176 million market cap. Oh, they obviously are doing a share buyback here. Trading update. This opening year impacted by global economics. So revenues will be impacted, they say, by climate investment. The board remains cautious on the outlook for 2024, with geopolitical instability exacerbating our impact on our clients in high interest rates, weak consumer environment. Okay. Yep. So saying, Science Group maintains a very strong balance sheet with gross cash, 32 million, and net funds of 19.2. Okay, they didn't say anything about whether they're going to be on the revenue side. But sometimes
but a forecast, I mean, I'm looking at the forecast right here. They're okay. Sort of, it's sort of 2023 to 25. There isn't a lot of top line growth there. And as a consequence, there's not a lot of profit growth either. It's a consultancy. Ultimately, it's not, you know, it's not, you know, deal once, sell many times. There is a people cost behind it, but it's profitable. Yeah. Shares aren't cheap. Shares are cheap, sorry.
Okay. Well, there are some interesting ones to look at there. That's on the Vox Markets website later. So check those out. Do some research. Like screening is a good starting point.
That's all there. There's definitely some stuff I'm going to be.
A lot of the time, you know, if you see big companies taking a big hit, it's like anything. You know, it's like if we talk about JD Sports, you know, there will be a time there'll be a buying opportunity where they'll go up, you know. But at the moment, after a big sell off, it takes a while for the share price to consolidate, then do, you know, do some trading updates that show it's not getting any worse, and then it starts to move. But that takes, you know, could take months. So it's almost like put it on a watch list, you know, I mean, add an alert and then come back to it and say, okay, so just checking on the news. And the good way of checking on the news, download the Vox Markets app, get alerted when they release news, so you won't miss it. On the front page here, Rockfire reports encouraging first results from Lighthouse Tenement in Australia. Mm. Oh, look at that gold there. It's almost like spray painted.
I don't imagine it is.
It is.
It's a bit of stock photography.
Prospects Energy confirms optimal flow rates at PM1 gas facility in Italy.
Nice little asset, this producing asset in Italy. And it's got off sales to BP.
Someone do a search on,
this is a share price that is floundering at.
It's because the gas is taking the hammering. It's like, yeah. we are going through a cold spell at the moment. But I think since the war in, I should say the Russian invasion of Ukraine. That's the way you should. All the European countries panicked, of course, because they should. Gas prices went up like this, and they said, right, let's get the gas price up. I'll show you now. Gas prices went bananas, and they decided to, we need storage. We need storage. Look at that. Look at the gas.
Right, it was a very, very sensible decision.
Yeah, and then they started storing it, and now storage levels are quite high across Europe, and we realise we're going towards now. I think, in fact, tomorrow, the temperatures are improving. So maybe
it's going to be double digits next week. It's talking 13 to 15.
Cold snap.
From winter to spring in a day, you know.
There's gas usage needed, and most of it's stored anyway.
Yeah, it's been a mild winter, you know. And actually sort of, you know, taking this one step further, you know, this is very, very helpful on the inflation front as well.
Yeah. Well, that's listening yesterday. You think about it. If you look at what plays into the inflation figures, and the thing that gave it the blip this time, they were saying largely is that, you know, alcohol and tobacco,
which is ironic because the price of alcohol and tobacco is largely dictated by government tax policy. My understanding was that the government's promise was to halve inflation, and yet the one factor that's driven it up is something they have control of, whereas the rest of it they don't.
But I suppose as well, people tend to drink more at Christmas, don't they? So I suppose the misspending was, I don't know if this is true, but I suppose proportionally across the year, December, generally, people spend more on alcohol than any other month. So yeah, maybe that's factored more in the spending. But that'll come down. If you look at what's coming down, I mean, energy is a big part, but that's going to come down again, they reckon, because of an energy cap towards April. So they're saying there's a lot more. There's only one thing that they're worried about is a national living wage. That'll go up and raise a bit of thing. But apart from that, everything else looks like it's coming down. Commodities are low. You know, oil and gas is quite low. It's not an issue. So I think that's one little blip. Otherwise, downward trend in inflation. But let's sort of
talking of drinking more. We've published a new sexy report today.
I saw that. Glass half full.
So this one looks at. So we've got a couple of wine producers, the UK British wine producers, Chapel Down, which recently took a listing on AIM to complement its Aquis listing. Gusbourne Was also a UK wine producer. And then a couple of wine retailers. So you've got your online wine retailers, Naked Wines and Virgin Wines. And then there is a spirits company, Distill.
Yeah, Distill. Yeah, okay. Worth a look at that. Yeah, we did. Yeah, they're all... I mean, those two charts of... Vino?
They've been horrendous, you know, horrible.
They're bottomed out. They're a big rally. You often get this big rally and then a consolidation, and you see that the low is here. And same with Naked Wines. Yeah.
Well, yeah, hit very badly by the cost of living crisis. And but there are signs, you know, there's trading update from Naked yesterday. So signs, you know, that sort of say not just the share prices bottoming out, but you know, the sort of market weakness is perhaps nadir.
Yeah, which is the bigger one, Naked Wines, isn't it? Vino's a small one, is it, I think?
I think so. I couldn't tell you. It's so weird.
Yeah, Virgin is a smaller one. It's half the size of Naked Wines. Okay, cool. Marvellous. What else is on the front page here? Let's scroll down. I've got the most read, the most followed. For Expo, most followed. Vissarion did another. I've got to say, I don't see how they're still listed, to be honest. I don't see the point, really, of placing every few months and, you know, a massive discount. And, of course, the more they do that, the less they can place. So it's a little bit worrying. Unless they get a cash flow break-even, which I can't see happening, literally. Watch the Switzerland having a bounce yesterday. Did you see that? Profit warning, trading came out.
I'm not a fan of Watches of Switzerland.
No.
I haven't been for a long time. I wrote something on this... A very long time ago, back place I used to write before Investability, which I ran, and this was a company I pulled out as being one to avoid for various reasons.
I said to Vadim yesterday. I said I've no compunction to buy a flashy watch.
Yeah, but a lot of people do.
Never have. I know a lot of people do. But I said, do you know what the people who tend to are not people that are super well off. They're people who want to show off. And they're also people who have mortgages. And so I think the cost of living crisis hits those people who want to show off. They're, oh, I'm richer. You know, it's almost like now you TikTok and YouTube show people flash watches. I think, you know, they're not the kind of people. There is a strata of people, of course, that the cost of living crisis doesn't touch at all. And they're rich.
I think some of the watches that they sell, I mean, there's one on... It's an £82,000 watch. You know, you can buy a small house for the same price.
What's the point of that? It's to tell the time. You know, it's like I would be if I bought that. First of all, I'd be worried I'm going to scratch it or damage it, or it's going to get nicked. You know, so I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I'll
tell a lie. It's an £88,000 watch. This was when I wrote about it. The Hublot Big Bang MP11. I mean, it's just like
I wouldn't have any happiness from that. Would you gain any happiness from that? It'll tell you the time, but be scared to wear it. What's the point?
I wouldn't. But I mean, I guess I think you know the point. My observation about watches in Switzerland at the time, and I think it's sort of come to pass is that luxury has come off the boil, and obviously China was a big part of that. You know, Russia was a big part of luxury spending, and you know when they had a statement when the Ukraine war started, this is Watches of Switzerland saying that you know this wasn't going to affect their business. They actually put a statement out to that effect because you know it's well known that you know Russian oligarchs spend a lot of money. But you know, I've got there's other worries in this market. I think one there was the valuation at the time, it's a retailer ultimately. You know, it might sell a luxury product, but it doesn't warrant a luxury valuation. Secondly, was that you know there is the risk that you know you sort of Rolexes and other manufacturers sell direct.
Cut out
the middleman. The middleman. The other factor is that there were production issues as a result of COVID. So there just simply wasn't enough supply of new watches. And of course, you know, that's bad news for a retailer. And the second-hand market is a bit more fragmented.
Yeah, well, do you know what? This myth almost, you know, sometimes the luxury market isn't touched by the cost of living crisis. Mm. Well, that's not what we've seen. If you look at Burberry and all that stuff, they've all been selling off.
Yeah.
You know? They've all been attacked.
They're cyclical. You know, I found a stat, and it's actually UK, sorry, global. Global growth in Swiss watch exports, and you had a big downturn after the banking crisis. You had a downturn in 2015, and you've had a downturn again now. So you know it is cyclical. Yeah, luxury does not mean non-cyclical.
No, exactly. And cyclicality, of course, can play to the upside as well massively. When, you know, when we're at a turn around, interest rates come down, you'll see stocks like that, probably a good rally. A couple of comments here. The TJ09 says, you didn't mention Flutter results yesterday. No, we didn't.
I tend to avoid gamblers, I must admit. It's not an area I don't like the sector. I tend to just avoid it.
Highly regulated sectors, you know, always a problem. It's hard enough finding a company just doing well consistently, business-wise, that is growing with good value, without regulation chucked on top. You know, you don't want that. I like the name, Anne Conboy. ME Group's photo me machines have links into UK passport control.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
What do you mean? It's absolutely brilliant.
So basically, when you need a new passport, you obviously get a new photo. Mm-hmm. And you go to the machine, the photo me machine, takes your photo and you set up your account and then your photo taken at that machine, it sits in your account. And if you need to apply for a passport, they can access that account. If you need a new driving license, they can access that account. So actually it's integrated quite nicely into, you know, these important identification documents. And, you know, I think that sort of changed it for me.
Anne says, I'm a big holer, so more than just a photo machine. Anne says, I renewed my passport about a year ago using their machine, and it made it very easy. Yeah. I was impressed. I like that.
Yeah, I agree. But to me, though,
I do it all online anyway. It's like, I did an iPhone against a wall, fine. Last time I renewed my passport, I remember doing it. I had to go back about three times because the lady in the post office was saying, no, there's a small gap in your mouth. So like that.
That's the other advantage of these machines, you know, because when you take your photo with a photo me machine, it tells you whether it's acceptable, whether it's going to be accepted by the post office, by the passport office. So, it's a very easy experience.
My argument is this, and I'm arguing with you and John, your discussion was two sides ago. My thought is this. I think being in your house and taking the picture on your iPhone. Yeah,
we know you don't like to leave your house, Justin.
Exactly. And why do I want to go to a smelly old germ-ridden sort of supermarket full of, you know, when I can do it in the comfort of my own home against the wall? What's more convenient? I just think, no, I think that's amazing. I didn't realize it could do that.
Yeah, I was in the car. I needed a new passport photo. And, you know, I've tried the selfie approach before, and it's just a pain in the ass because they're very finickety about what they accept and what they don't. So it just made the whole experience very easy. The only problem I had with it was this particular machine decided that it would only speak to me in French. Luckily, I speak a bit of French.
Do you intend to travel to France? Maybe it's that intelligent in here.
No.
I said, well, you should be knowing this language, John. They said, so we'll speak to you back in English then. Fonzie says, big technologies, the Americas are 27% of revenue. So even if they lose big customers, the maximum revenue impact is 27%.
But that's quite big. Colombia, you would think.
Trouble is, you can't keep track of criminals in Colombia. They're very hard to keep track of.
Well, that's the point of big technology. But the statement is there is a clear impact from the loss of this contract, and that, you know, they're winning new contracts. They are targeting the US because obviously there are a lot of prisons in the US and a lot of, you know, parolees. But it's going to take them a lot of time to get these contracts back. There's actually there's a note out from Zeus on this.
The Greek god Zeus.
Yes, the broker Zeus. The downgrades are significant as a result of this loss of contracts. And it's going to take till 2025 to get it back up and running. The company's still making money, and there's still potentially a play here.
That's the point. It might take time to turn. Yes, that's it. That's spot on. When we talk about bomb opportunities, ladies and gentlemen, we're not saying jump in now. We're saying this is what investing is about. It's just monitoring. You get a bag load of companies. It's like a sales funnel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Basically, you get a bag load of companies on your watch list, and you monitor them. Some of them will drop out of your filter because they're not performing. They're not reverting to, you know, being a good business. But the ones that, and stock picking is not easy. You can't just chuck a dart and, well, sometimes you can probably, but that makes it even more random. Quality filters, isn't it? And keep an eye on good companies. And, oh, this company's, it's almost like, I think if you stalk a company, when you have a company like this, like in fact, JD Sports, we know it's a good business model, right? It's been oversold. And all you have to do is monitor to make sure, you know, business isn't getting worse and worse. And it starts picking back up. Then all of a sudden you think, okay, I'm happy here now. It doesn't get any worse. Then you sort of, you know, buy a couple of shares maybe. And that's, you know, so yeah. Time is the thing, isn't it?
Time is the thing. I mean, just going back to big technologies, the downgrade is significant. So prior to today's update, Zeus was looking for 61.7 million top line.
Half.
So they've lost, that's basically 10.7 million taken out the top line forecast. And that translates into roughly a 8 million EBITDA hit.
Okay.
To 28.1.
They've gone from 40, have they done to...
It's a big hit. So, yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's not a contract that accounts for the entirety of the business, but a 10 million hit is a big hit.
Yeah, and also, what you must worry about sometimes is like you're saying, why are these contracts left? Why have they stopped? Now, we assume that they're excellent technology, they're brilliant. Yeah, maybe. But maybe they found another technology out there that's better, that's better priced. If that's the case, then they may lose more contracts. You never know. So you can't just say, you can't just jump in right now and say, that's it, they're brilliant. Because you know, you never know with business.
You don't lose more contracts. What the broker says, what Zeus says, which is quite interesting. So basically, big technologies has lost the tender, but it's lost this tender before, but then continued to run the contract because the winner of the contract didn't deliver the contract. So as I say, it's a funny old contract, been sort of problematic for some time. Who knows? There might be a surprise where actually this sort of repeat of this situation.
Most read today is Avacta, appointment of Christina Coughlin. The share price obviously not impressed, but she was on non-exec there. Take up the position of head of research and development, overseeing all clinical development and preclinical. So who was there beforehand then?
No idea. Maybe they didn't have it. So, look, you know, as companies sort of head through the various phases of drug development, yeah, they basically they tend to beef the teams up, bringing some more heavy hitters. We've seen it at Avacta already. We've seen it at Poolbeg. You know, keep bringing people in. Keep strengthening the team.
Okay. Avacta also announces that very similar names there. I'll check. So Christina Coughlin is stepping up. Fiona McLaughlin is stepping down. You've got a Scottish name to, I think, get on there, I think. In fact, Alistair, that's the Scottish spelling of Alistair, isn't it? So maybe, is that Scottish-based, Avacta? I don't know. Anyway, that's nothing to do with the company, really. Just looking at,
the nationality of the board, I'm pretty sure, has zero impact on the share prices.
In fact, let's do a study into that. What a waste of time that was. You often see universities doing studies like that. What's the point? What is the point of spending money on ridiculous things like that? Fallers, of course, Visarian, big technologies, Myanmar investments. Why do you put your money in there? Myanmar and investing in Myanmar. But hard-eyed. Well, so anything else? What rises today? Wincanton, of course, take over IBM, Fab, Strategic, Synectics. I did talk about Synectics. It's a company I do hold. I've just sort of mentioned that. This is so annoying, John. I was on LinkedIn on the 10th of December, Sunday it was, just evening, just browsing around, and I saw, Judith, McKenzie, another Scottish lady, just mentioned she's part of the Quarterly Company Alliance, and she mentioned Synectics and joined them, Quarterly Company Alliance. I thought, Synectics, I know that name, I've done research on it before, I'm sure I have. So I looked into them, I really liked them, I thought, do you know what, I put them through the spreadsheets and everything, I thought, Monday morning, I'm going to buy these. Monday morning, they came out with a trading update ahead of expectations. They shot up by 20%. I thought, why can you wait a day? But nevertheless, it's I do like what they're doing.
Four Imprint, I noticed down the bottom of that list of rises.
What was that? Four Imprint?
Imprint. Yeah. That's like promotional products, basically. Share price, you know, this has been an incredible performer over the years. But the share price had sort of come off a little bit. It's got it all back because this is a very strong update. This is part of the marketing industry that's proved somewhat resilient. We had another update from a company called Pebble, the Pebble Group, this week.
I saw that. Yeah, in fact, I looked at their forecast. Are they that? I wasn't that sort of overly impressed with them. The forecast. I like weather, the weather forecast, you know, pretty much.
I like a company that, I mean, you know, they had a slightly softer outlook, but again, you know, it's a big company. It's like, you know, it's a 125 million top line, making profits, proper pre-tax profits, you know, and you know, nicely valued. Didn't pop out my screen. Don't know why. Oh no, it's because forecast EBITDA contraction this year.
Yeah, that's what.
But
I
then
saw.
You've got EBITDA's growth a year, a couple of years after. So again, this, you know, it didn't come out that screen, but it's the kind of company I'm on the lookout for, and I do like this space. I like this.
Well,
promotional.
I'd implore you to as well. I said to touch on a synecdoche there, but I said I'm looking for companies. So what you want is. You don't want to go for companies that are downgrading. You want to go for companies that are upgrading. That's what you want to do. But sooner or later, when a company downgrades, and all of a sudden they hit rock bottom, or not rock bottom, but they get to the stage where they start improving again, they'll start upgrading. It's the upgrading cycle you want to look to, not downgrading. And I think Synectics is on an upgrading cycle, and the good value, and you know, the good growth there. They do sort of high-end CCTV and software as a service platform. Why I like these, John, is we've talked about Journeo quite a lot, right? And we realize the hardware side of the business, of course, you put it in there. Once it's in there, it's hard to rip out. But then you get the software as a service business as well. So you get upfront bit of a clumpy revenue from the hardware, then software as a service, which is recurring. And that together, and they do that in CCTV. And they're largely into, you know, sort of oil and gas, which is recovering, and casinos, in big casinos, because there's lots of cameras in casinos looking at card counting, people's face recognition, is AI in that. But they have a platform as well. So you don't have to use their cameras, but you can plug it into their platform, which monitors all of it and gives you alerts using AI and stuff. Which are, and if you look at the sort of upgrades there, they're quite impressive. And they've come from a thing. So it's just SNX is a ticker, but they've upgraded recently on things. But yeah, but what was annoying is I just saw almost someone was staring at looking at my computer. I got paranoid. I don't know, literally on the bell, as I was going to buy on the bell on 11th of December. And on the 7 a.m. they came up with a trading update, which, like, ahead of expectations. Oh, you sods. There we are. But, I've got to take a little bit of that. Okay, anything else on... do you know what, Johnny boy? I think, right, that Rishi Sunak realises he's onto a hammering in the general election. Well, if you look at this, you know, all the surveys, they say are. And I think the March budget, it's going to be on March the 6th. They're going to pull out all stops and really do their best to win as many votes as possible. And in fact, there's now whispering, as you can see, they're starting to lay the tracks for this. Sunak, there's two news stories out today about reducing tax cuts. So Sunak said there's more to come on tax cuts. He said we want to do tax cuts more at future events when we can responsibly do so. This was today speaking. It's controlling spending, so the plan's working. Stick with it. The plan's working. In what respect does he say that? I don't know what plan is he looking at. Is he looking at the losing votes, losing the election plan, and basically growth slowing down? If that's working, you're right. And also now, together in Davos, Jeremy Hunt, they're also got the same crib sheet, haven't they? So we need to talk about tax cuts a bit more now. Get it back out there, because they're saying that they're going to reduce tax, and I think this could be even stamp duty on stocks and shares, maybe. That would be a good thing. And
that would be a good thing.
Yeah, maybe encouraging the ISA as well, UK ISA, or increasing the ISA threshold. You know, people, if you look at where money comes from to go into the ISA, it's been taxed about four times already for most people. You know, you literally, you know, wherever money's come from, it's been taxed. So why tax again off people trying to earn money off the savings they've, you know, been taxed on? It's ridiculous. It's a triple tax almost. So I think they, at least it should go up with the, you know, in state of inflation, the ISA allowance. But it hasn't gone up for, like, I think 6 years now, ISA allowance. So at least help, you know, people invest in British companies, I think, and that would help stimulate. I think they will stimulate the economy via the stock market as well, hopefully, because that's been mulled about. But I think they're holding some of it back, chuck it all in this budget. So I'm looking forward to this budget because he's going to try and win as many votes as possible. Yeah. I'm not going to hold my breath. But I do think they're going to be going for it. It's their last chance, isn't it? It's their last chance to really win some votes in the budget, pretty much. It's their last chance, you know? That's what I think.
They're going to put out all the stops.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're not invested, ladies and gentlemen, what you're going to see, we're going to see inflation coming down. This is a bull case. We're going to see inflation coming down. It's pretty much nailed on. Energy's coming down. Wage inflation has now peaked out. So the market's going to rally anyway because interest rates are coming down. Then you've got stimulus from the budget. Then you've got the end tax. You know, generally April is a very good month for stocks and shares. I think we're going to have a really good Q2, 3, 4. 2024 is going to be a blowout year. So if you're sitting on cash, find some quality companies. They will rise. In fact, even crap companies will rise. To be honest, you know, even rubbish.
I'd rather own the quality ones.
Yeah, exactly. Sustainable rise there, but some people like to trade crap. You know, you can't. Anyway. Yeah, it doesn't matter how much you say, don't try and catch a falling knife. People will try and catch a falling knife. You know, it doesn't pay out most of the time. But the one time it does play out, they'll say, see, it worked. Yeah, but the last 10 times it didn't. So, here we are. Anything else? Any plans for the weekend,
no,
John?
I think that's it. Any plans for the weekend?
Yeah, me?
No, the usual. Tidying up.
No, me. All right, that's it. Well, at least the good news is it's going to get less cold, but maybe rain. I'd prefer the cold, wouldn't you?
I'd prefer the cold. The rain has been horrific. I don't like the rain. Too much flooding, right? The flooding has been
insane. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. In fact, more damage is created by, you know, extreme rain than extreme frost, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been very,
more
very bad.
More misery, maybe, unless you're homeless. In fact, it's both. Let's just move away somewhere. Why do we have to deal with this weather? Different country. Marvellous. Thank you, everyone. Have a nice weekend. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up button if you could. Like and subscribe to the channel and download the Vox Markets app. It is voxmarkets.co.uk. Speak you next week, everyone. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.